You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikkel Morrison in Seattle.
Nick Longo in Los Angeles.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Woo-hoo! You guys and everybody listening. Fired up today. It's a Friday, so.
Good times. We're in our second week of school. Gotten back into the swing of things there. It's kind of cool. You know? You know, it was funny. We were thinking of doing, and I thought I'd put this out and see if you guys would be interested in doing it too, but we're thinking of doing like a live 30-minute design challenge with as many designers as we can get. Doing it on like Zoom where everyone can participate, you know, and release a brief right at the beginning of it and let everybody do it.
Oh, the pressure. That sounds awful.
And then make a big gallery of everyone's submission, you know, so not really a competition.
Okay.
You know,
I feel like mine, I don't know if you've been watching the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but the last episode, like literally was asked to do a doodle for charity, like a celebrity doodle. So he's just like with a pen, just sketching something stupid out. And then he turns it in. They're like, we can't use this. And like all the other celebrity doodles were like these beautiful, like portraits of horses and stuff. It's like, that would be mine is what I'm saying. I would be the Larry David version of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about not pace, but quality. So I'm bowing out on that. Yeah, if anybody needs to hire MKM under the gun like that to crank something out, that's an exit strategy for me.
That's
like, no,
jam.
We're about quality here. Bye.
That's going to segue nicely into our episode here, how to
get
out of a project. But well, that's cool. That sounds like a fun little challenge.
Well, we do it more to like speed up, you know, remember like, when you're young and maybe still in school, most of my students, they haven't been exposed to like the real pace of like what certain things and their first few jobs are going to probably feel like. So it's more to get them ready for that. Like you can't do a logo in 3 months. Like sometimes you might have 2 afternoons at your job to do something really quick, right? Or a post or something that's not like, you know, set in stone logo for the rest of their life, but something to just be like, hey, in 30 minutes, can you do something like this and get them thinking, here's the pace I got to get used to?
I would argue that it depends on the brand and the scope and
tons
of factors that make 3 months a legitimate time period for brand identity.
It is. And I'm making that more richer in my own thought, but like in my own business, it takes a long time to do it. But sometimes the pace they get to just do a page layout in a class is like 4 weeks, you know, and you're like, And I just want to get them ready. And every student who has done it and now is in the real world goes, you were so right. Like the pace is so much faster when your boss tells you I need something like real quick. So it's just fun little exercises. It might be like put together a post saying you are open for business and now accepting freelance offers.
You know what? That is like true because in a creative studio, you know, if you work for an agency, it's not up to you. A deadline's a deadline.
You're right.
You have to deliver.
Yep.
If you want to keep your job.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or want to keep your, you know, a good reputation going. With this independent practice that we've got rolling, there's a different tone. I was just on a kickoff call this morning, and it was for a pretty massive rendering, and there was something mentioned about beginning next week. And I said, excuse me? No. And you know, some people don't know about all the different phases that are incorporated into any given project. They know the scope, but they don't know how many rounds might be necessary. You know, how many people are in the kitchen? Like what kind of feedback are we obtaining here?
Yeah.
And if I've never done a rendering for this particular client before, and I have in mind to round up support to assist, I'm not going to say, sure, beginning next week's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that.
Got to roll it into the schedule. So, and this reminds me, though, too, about time limits. I definitely have noticed. So I hired a full-time designer to help me with my client projects, awesome. As well as to design, like, the social stuff, like my thumbnails for YouTube and whatnot. What I've noticed is he's a good designer, but, like, if I were to tell him tomorrow you're to work on this thumbnail, he'll take all day with that one thumbnail. Or that's all he'll do. Versus if I say you have 8 of these due tomorrow, then suddenly magically 8 of them get done. But it's crazy.
It's in the request.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think there is something in people that they kind of tend to, you know, it's like a goldfish will fill the bowl that's in, like it'll grow to the right size. Deadlines are the same way. If you give someone a year to finish a project, they will take almost the whole year. Versus if you give him like
a week,
I guess
it depends on how much is on your plate, right? Like he's a freelancer, right? So he's
he's mine now. He's not a freelancer. I've hired him. He's like full time for me. So
you pay him a flat, like
he gets a
salary
base. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so that's different. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as a test, the next time you give him one, tell him he has 30 minutes. See what happens.
There you go. And I bet he could. Well, I'll tell you this
You'd
much. When I do, when I do my thumbnails, it does not take me more than 10 minutes to do one. So it is pretty amazing when you give someone else kind of the same job you've been doing and they will take a whole day to do it. Like nothing about this should take that long, but
I know.
Yeah. To be fair to him, it's like his first attempt doing it. So
true. Yeah. And I think sometimes these tests are great because it's like, then when you actually have 2 days to do something instead of those 30 minutes, you're like, oh my God, if I could do it that quick and somewhat successful, imagine what I could do in a full day or 4 hours or whatever it is. So I find it to just be one of those good things that we should all freshen up on sometimes, but I'll keep, if listeners are interested in joining it, I'm going to have some info on social media and either Twitter or Instagram soon. So just be on the lookout, but I'm expecting my co-host to join in as well.
All right. We'll see about that.
TikTok.
And speaking of learning things fast, Skillshare, baby. We love Skillshare. It's always time to explore new skills, deepen your existing passions, and just get lost in creativity with Skillshare's online classes. What you find might surprise and or inspire you. So Skillshare, if you don't know by now, is an online learning community where millions of creatives come together to take the next step in their journey with thousands of inspiring classes for either, you know, creative or just curious people on topics not limited to, but including illustration, design, freelancing, all that good stuff that makes your business go. So, and they offer membership with meaning, which means they've got so much stuff to explore and you can really, you know, start piecing together all the different missing pieces from your skill set. So they offer classes designed for real life. So basically you can get in and get out without putting your life on hold. So you can learn and grow with short classes that fit your busy routine. And it's also incredibly affordable, especially when you compare it to really pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month, which is pretty crazy when you think of the vast library of stuff you have access to. There's a few classes here that are really piquing my interest here. You know, we've got Introduction to Book Cover Design, Making Stories Visual. Because I don't know, a quick aside, like I was in the airport bookshop like last time I was traveling, and it's amazing how how many books I wanted to buy based on, I will never read these books, mind you. I listen to books, thank you very much. But the covers looked so great. It's like, I want to learn how to do that. And then we've got logotype design. So it's called Logotype Design, Create Brand Marks with Typography. So lots of great stuff here. Those are just a few of the ones I found. But, you know, if you're listening to the show, obviously you value furthering your skills. So Skillshare is a proud sponsor of the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, and they have been for years. So let's support them at the same time. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/deepin and get 2 months free of premium membership. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes, for free. So get started and join today by heading to Skillshare.com/deepend. That's Skillshare.com/deepend. All right.
Nice.
So today we're going to talk about a topic that we kind of teased last time about, you know, when is it time to pull the plug on a project midstream? It's never something that we like to see happen, but sometimes it does. It's one of those harsh realities of the business. So today's discussion is going to be a little freeform. We don't really have an outline planned of this. We're just going to draw from our own experience and talk about, first of all, I think we should talk about the things that we have in place in our businesses, you know, as preventative measures.
Yeah.
Or not just preventative measures, but like little, you know, golden parachutes we create for ourselves that allow us to just pull the cord and jump out if we have to. So let's start with the preventative stuff. What do you guys do to try to prevent this from projects going sideways?
You want to go first, Mikkel, or?
What really helps me with these types of subject topics and discussions is examples. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's not appropriate to name names or anything, so I'm going to try to do as best I can with that. But I have, and I know we've talked about this happening before, but I've got right now an existing client that is just, there's no communication. It's just sitting there. And it was one of those projects where 50% deposit down, pay it straight away. Kickoff was understood, pretty clear. Delivered first round, happy with it. And then comes and you guys will know these personalities. I just came across this website. I really like it.
Oh.
You know, after being all gung.
Yeah. Love that.
Oh, listeners. That's my favorite. We're seeing a lot of nodding from Wes and Nick and shaking the head at the same time.
I know.
Because it's completely relatable. And with that came a list of websites, not just one. Mm. So I'm having to revisit, you know, scope. And I don't want to get started until I have all the information I possibly can. There's no way I'm going to hit the Canvas board and start round two or edits or anything. I mean, this is kind of feeling all a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because at the start, it was feeling pretty organized, you know, and structured. But this is very much the type of personality. And I fortunately do have another individual that's involved that kind of plays officer in a way. Mm-hmm. Without that individual, I would say this is a good opportunity for MKM to say, listen, I've got my 50%. I won't be invoicing you further. And here's a referral. Here's a designer that, you know, maybe I wouldn't do that. I'm thinking out loud now, aren't I? Because I don't know that I would do that to one of my colleagues.
That is something too, that now that you bring that up, that is hard because we feel bad abandoning a project and abandoning a client, unless they're just over the top, you know, where we delight in it, you know, we've had those too, but generally it's like, you feel kind of bad jumping ship, and you'd feel much better yourself if you could at least make it easier on them by giving them someone else. But at the same time, you're like, well, I'm leaving for a reason. Do I really want to do this to someone else?
And then it could put a bad taste on that mouth if you've got this good networking relationship with other creatives out there all together. Yeah. So, you know, I think we've talked about those companies that employ people on overseas, and Fiverr is one of them. And, you know, maybe it's an opportunity like that to say, you know, here are some resources. Yeah.
I'm pulling out of your logo design project. Here's 99designs.com.
Something like that. Does that sound so terrible? Because you don't want to lock yourself into a situation where you're making a recommendation where your colleague would be like, basically, what, WTF? Thanks right. a lot. Yeah. You know, that's not nice.
Find the designer from the samples that they sent you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do you have a clause that you can obviously cancel for some reasons and then the 50% deposit is not refundable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Then
that's why I said, mm-hmm. appreciate you being so prompt with the first half
yeah.
payment of the project. I won't be billing you for anything further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would they have files from you at this point of everything you've done? Because that's a good, you know what I mean? Like,
So this may be, I understand that this may be, there might be some discrepancy about this, but I mm-hmm. only do if requested.
Okay, that's a great way to look at it. Because I'm always trying to put myself in the client's perspective too, that if I'm going to drop this bomb on them, and even if I'm fully covered in my contract that says I can do this, how are they going to feel about this, right?
Right.
And so if it was a full PDF of discovery and all that research and great tactics and stuff that's already been shared, you're saying now, but how do you pull back? That's in their hands. Right.
Only the creatives that I've provided them that is mm-hmm. for their company, their business.
Yes. Correct.
Their brand.
So they have it. And you're fine with that being, hey, you paid me for that. This is what uh-huh. I've done from this point mm-hmm. on. So good. Yeah.
Work,
I think
work
yeah.
to date. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah. And for me,
and I feel what good that about
is.
That.
Yeah. That is for me. I put that under
that's
the
a
category.
Really good
of,
question, I think.
Sorry. Yeah. It's okay. I definitely put that under the category of, you know, it's breaking the rules a little bit. Like ideally, if they haven't paid you in full, they shouldn't have mm-hmm. anything you haven't paid for. But it's also kind of me bridging the gap of like, okay, I'm kind of leaving you high and dry here. So
absolutely.
In order for me to walk away and feel better about that decision, here yeah. you go.
Yeah.
Right. It's a case by case basis. And I'm not saying
because
anyone
you
else.
You still want to leave the opportunity for that person, even if it didn't work out between you two parties specifically, that there's an exit that is still on a cordial note from which they may think of you as a referral opportunity with anybody else.
Mm-hmm. And just karma too. Like for me, it's like yeah.
karma.
I'm getting to be much less of a people pleaser, but when I know that I'm kind of like, let's say I'm leaving a project based on the client not being a horrible person, but I'm just seeing it's not working out and I just, life's too short kind of thing.
Yeah. yeah.
Can you give an example of this?
Yeah. Let me think of one. From the past few years, this has happened to me several times where I've been working with someone where it just kind of comes out midway through that this isn't going very well. There's one guy who I've talked about before who was very rude to me in an email, and that was easy to walk away from. But I still, even then, I gave him some money back because he'd kind of paid me for more than what I had done up to that point.
That's super respectful.
I wanted an easy exit plan. Yeah, so just for that reason alone, I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not working with you anymore, but I'll, in the sake of moving on, here's a little bit of money back. And then I had one who was just kind of being really skittish. This is very early stages. And I just gave him his money back too, because we hadn't really done much work yet. But yeah, I mean, they're trying to think of a really good example of what I'm talking about. Like, let's just say you're doing a project for someone and they're very nice and they're very pleasant, but you can tell that they want something more out of a website than is reasonable. Okay. Like they want everything to be just so and perfect in a way that you don't really they don't need that, first of all. Mm-hmm. They're overthinking it. And it's something that you didn't really bill for, like a level of perfection that you didn't bill for. I can see a case to be made there to say, listen, your goals are a little unrealistic, so I'm going to walk away, but I want to make that, you're not being rude. I just want to like, so I want to make this easy on you. So yeah. Here's the files, or here's a little bit of money back. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
And isn't it funny how you find you might stretch it for the client that is just fantastic and is a great partner in the whole thing. And maybe that same situation happens, but they weren't, like, I've had clients that don't show that appreciation, right? Mm-hmm. And they might ask for the moon at that point, like you said, beyond the scope. And it could ruin the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's those ones that you have a great relationship with, and it's doing great. And you might just stretch it a little bit to be for both sides to be happy and you have no problem with it. So a lot of times it's just the attitude and the vibe you get makes you decide differently. Yeah. You know? How you're gonna handle it. So yeah. I've had a few of those where it's very similar to both your stories, where like I had one that was a full branding project that started, and it was gonna lead into packaging, trade show, online stuff, even like the look and feel of social media and all that, no website. But what was interesting is the very beginning, we just didn't get in a good vibe as far as the talking, the communication, my little things that I usually can say that either wow a client, wasn't working with them. You know what I mean? It was like, I knew it from the very beginning. So I put so much up front to say, this is the expectation. This is the commitment I'm going to make. This is the promise I'm going to make. This is what I'm going to deliver. Like, I was so crystal clear and everything. And their first response from the first round of stuff was like, this isn't anything that we agreed on. And I was like, oh my God. And of course I first thought, where did I go wrong? Like, I want to ask that first. Like, did I just totally go on some tangent and not follow what we talked about? I look back, everything was checked off. I was like, simple and minimal, right? Like clean and non-illustrative. All those things we said, and they still were like, no. And then I stretched, did a whole second round that was not part of the agreement, and then it was dead silence after that.
Yeah.
And I was like,
some people are just hard to please.
I got my 50% and it's not refundable. And when I did add up the tally, I got more money than work I did, right? At that point, I guess I'm making sure I'm not doing 50% of the work at that point where we can make a thing. And it went real sour, but I was like, screw it. I felt good because I walked away going, we did everything. And so what I did was I turned it into a whole other case study, changed the name. And there I have a whole other case study.
Oh, cool. Upcycling in my mind.
Totally. So
that's cool.
It's not like I had the choice to walk away, but we did. And it's a lesson learned that I was like, look, the minute I find that there's something I did wrong or I didn't do enough upfront, then I'll admit it in a second, you know? But this was one of those, like, it's one of those you can't please. And I think they were a little too precious in what their look was. Why would you want to rebrand then? If you're happy with it, don't rebrand. If you're not happy with it, be open. And they were just that headstrong client.
Yeah. And I had one recently that it's the rare project that they pay for and just kind of goes away. So I was doing a website redesign for this client who basically had no real branding to speak of. I don't want to give away who I don't want to get into who they are, but basically it's like, all the stuff that's on their website is coming from their own work. They're also another creative type company. So it's very visual for that. So then it's just a matter of, and they had no real branding assets. They said they had a few things. So I took colors from that and fonts from that. And I showed them the first draft. And he was literally like, yeah, this is not even close to our brand. I'm like, you didn't have a brand. So you can say that maybe you're not really digging this direction, but don't act like I have, like I've effed up here and missed the mark. Like, you didn't have a mark to hit. So basically after that, like, we did another round and he said he was going to like have his designer work on a few things to show me. And that was October. I haven't heard from him since. And as far as I'm concerned, he's gone dead silent. Project's over.
Good.
That money is not coming back to him and I'm not continuing with the project. But let's get a little bit back on track here to what we do to keep this from happening. Yeah. So obviously the first step is to really make it clear what you're delivering and when and all that good stuff so that there's no room for interpretation, right?
Yeah.
And then
100%.
Yeah. What else do you guys have in place to just to make sure that goals are met? And
have you guys used like a timetable? Like I've been really strong on that, where that's in the proposal. And I even use like an official start date.
Mm-hmm.
So they know when it's going to go on my calendar. It's like you said, Mikaela, yeah. It's not starting on Monday. Sorry. It's starting when I tell when it's going to fit, but I make, I ask them up front, look, if you have a drop dead date, if this is for a trade show, if this is for an event, if this is timed, now let's reverse engineer. And I give them that and they have to stick to it. It's a lot of extra work. And if you've never done that, I know sometimes it might be scary because then you're like, I have to be set to those dates too. But I have never felt more sure about, because I haven't had one of these in a while since I've been really diligent on those upfront things, including the timeline. So I've made the timeline a huge thing. And if we go off that, and if there's radio silence, or if they're off more than 2 weeks from that thing, I can say we're done. Mm. And also too, like you said, I think Wes, you mentioned this years ago, is that fee to come back on. I look at it this way, my calendar is only as many days as there is, right? And if I book you on there and then you're gone, well, to come back in, you got to prove it to me. So $750 to get back in, that kind of stuff.
It's a little bit, little bit of a penalty to keep them from doing it, but it's also, like you've got other overlapping deadlines.
Well, wouldn't you say though, that along those lines, I think it's important to bring up the timeline component to this.
Mm-hmm.
I oftentimes will reverse engineer based on their projected date.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming that I have all the content needed.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes that's on them and they don't deliver when they intend to. And you know, we're all busy. I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, wouldn't you say in all honesty that if there is a little bit of, you know, right now there's a product launch date that has been pushed back and it's really helpful for me because I have too much on my plate.
Good. Yeah.
So I was happy to hear that on a call yesterday.
Sometimes it can work in your favor.
Sometimes it can work in your favor. So I try not to be too stringent up front at kickoff because you never know. Schedules bend and fold. We can't project any 2 weeks. So I'll be transparent if push comes to shove and there's an immediate need and it's looking like it's not going to happen. But I leave that pretty loosey-goosey in the beginning on purpose. But I understand that a lot of people look at me going, no, are you serious? Some people need a bit more structure.
Yeah. And I like to have kind of a timetable, it's loose because honestly, like I tend to show a very like what the timeline I put on there is usually probably way too optimistic. Not because of what I can deliver and what my team can deliver, but based on, I know damn well that whatever I put on there, and I need to revise this because I do know people take about three times as long to approve as I give them to approve.
I know. Yeah. Isn't that true?
And they're all different. Sometimes I get people that are like same day. Sometimes it's like five times what we asked for. So you're like, you got to just compensate. I get you.
Right. And I'm getting one now. I've got like, I'm really not trying to talk shit. It's a really good client. She's really sweet. But like, she is kind of in that, we're at the point where we need homepage approval on the design. And she kind of keeps finding things that she wants to tweak. I said today on the phone on our weekly sync call, I'm like, listen, we're designing for the web here. This isn't for print. Like, we're not going to get that background image to line up perfectly with all the other elements because it resizes based on
responsive,
the window. So it's hard to get some people to really pull the trigger and like, we can't keep going. We can't do anything else until that's signed off on. So it's really backing up. But okay, so anyway, other than the things we can say to kind of get to stop this from happening in the first place. What kind of, you know, trap doors do we create for ourselves to get out? So you say you have a non-refundable deposit. I, up till now, and I probably will do this, I've not really ever used that terminology. I do a deposit, but I never say non-refundable. So walk us through, like, exactly how you do this and how you, I guess, justify it to the client that I can walk away after you've paid this with no penalty to me. So how do you word that to your clients?
I believe there's a line that balances out that at any given time, 50% is equal to a certain amount of what's delivered, regardless of if we bail or not, like the first phase. So it kind of matches the work done by that time, okay, if that makes sense. So, like, I think there's a line in my contract that says, that explains that. And you're right. I think there's, it could be scary that if you write something non-refundable 50%, whatever, and I could just bail on day two, like, how do you make sure that that's not what they understand? Probably comes from a little wordsmithing in that contract as well, right? Like, I've never had anybody question it since I've been doing it. But yeah, that's a really good way to kind of, that's like one of those things to just make sure you're doing it right. You don't just say it without the explanation. The other thing I've been doing more specifically is, instead of just sending the agreement and hoping they sign it and then we have a green light, I do spend some time with them either live or on a call, and we go through it page by page. So, okay, that gives them that opportunity to see it and be face to face with me. So if it is intimidating, they can ask and I can obviously respond a little bit more. I just think it's so worth it to do that. How many times we've been burned in the past, and why my contract has gone from 5 pages to 25 is because of all these situations. So yeah, isn't it
just
worth it?
Just keep adding on a new clause there each time.
I know, man. And you know what's great too is, I think we talked about this years ago, but the idea of turning it into more of a, we are designers, so make it look good, make it sound good, have more friendly headlines rather than, like, you know, penalty, you know, yeah. Like, don't do that. Like,
it is okay to have emojis in your contract, right?
Exactly, right? Yeah. Like, but I've shown it to a few people, and it's interesting because it really does take that. It feels like an annual report. It feels more like, it feels very friendly. It feels like if we can put that into play by just the visuals of it, that's our job, you know.
Distract them with the old razzle dazzle. I know. Look at this graphic. Don't read the contract.
Great photography. It's like, why is there photography lifestyle images in your contract? You know, I don't know, but it's made a big difference. And I just feel, why not take the time to walk it through it with it? If that's been the problem of my past, I want to make it a solution.
Yeah, cool. But you're saying, so when you have that non-refundable deposit, you almost never get to a point where you want to jump out before you've finished that amount of work, right?
Because usually I'm not going to get response, or a conflict's not going to come up until maybe the first round of stuff is shown to them, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to do so much before that first round, where it's brand boards, color theory, brand archetypes, samples of competitive work that we feel is like, this is the zone we should be in. Like, I want those first round to be so solid that we don't have that awkward conversation. So it's trying to eliminate even having the contract talk or the deposit issue then. But I feel like that's a big bulk of work. So if they say, if we're not jiving, then I've done enough work to say it matches the 50%, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
And how do you word it in your contract too? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mikkel.
Oh, I wanted to touch on this at some point, is if whether you've been on the other end and any given client just doesn't see it working out. Right?
I mean, where they say this isn't working out?
It's important to have an exit strategy for that all the same, I think.
Oh, and it does word that.
And maybe that's a different episode, but...
Yeah, I think... I've got something in my contract about any either party can cut and run. I don't remember exactly how it's worded, but God, it's actually been a while since a client has pulled the plug, other than I guess this one I was talking about earlier technically did just by going silent. I mean, I don't think he's planning on keeping back up with it either.
Interesting.
But no, I haven't had anyone, like, I'm normally the one, because I think what happens is they're already kind of pot committed at this point. So they don't want to, you know, they don't want to just run away from it knowing they've already sunk this much money into it. Last time it happened to me was a logo design client back when I lived in LA. And this guy was like, we met at a Starbucks and he's showing, it's like he had like a sportswear company and he's showing me all these logos. He's basically telling me the story how he's already hired 5 designers and all of them sucked. And he's showing me a page, like 20 pages of logos. I'm like, some of these are not actually that bad. That my spidey sense should have been hanging off like crazy then. But I took him on as a client. And then he's like, yeah, no, this isn't good. After the first round, I showed him the first concepts, he's like, no, this isn't going to work. And just like,
wow.
Yeah. So good riddance.
Yeah, I've got a whole page on just termination. So like there's a mutual trust. So it tells from the very beginning, we must trust each other. And this is good for both of us. Then there's the fairness thing. Like, however, if if we can't come to an agreement and this needs to happen, we should be treated fairly and vice versa. Right. So it's like, it's really worded to protect both. Right. And it goes into that whole agreement. And then it gets into certain things upon termination. We agree to deliver you with all the deliverables up until that moment or to that time pertaining to this project in particular. And it goes into some other stuff. It says you have paid the 50% at that point and it is not refundable. So I'm assuming when we get there, if they have questions, I can talk it through and explain that this is for both of us, you know, because you can do the same thing at a certain time. So all you're obligated to is obviously the 50%. But don't you think too, like we just in like our last episode where we're talking about, we're trying to create ourselves as experts and we've opened the gates for you. We've put you on the calendar just like a doctor would. I know if my doctor has a thing that if I don't cancel before a certain thing, I'm still billed 100%.
George Costanza can tell you that.
Exactly.
The whole episode.
And I mean, like that's something that's ingrained in us. We know that that's the case, you know?
Yeah.
So
all right.
I'm going to switch my headphones because my AirPods keep going out.
No worries.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what about you, Mikkel? Do you have anything in place in terms of your language you use in your contract that gives you an out if you need one?
I mentioned the non-refundable 50% deposit for sure.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I do, this may sound too positive, but I just go in assuming that it's going to be a nice little marriage and things are going to work out. And if by chance we get off the rails a little bit and the timeline shifts or after first round design, there's a shift in gears. I am able to treat the project as a fresh one and revisit scope altogether, to which another 50% deposit is due.
Okay.
Because we're starting clean slate again.
Yeah.
Firm and it's fair. Up to me to determine that.
Sure. Love it.
But I don't know that anybody has read that.
Probably not.
Because they haven't
probably
asked.
Not. I know. And that has never happened.
Okay. So now let's switch
gears.
But I
do phrase it. I do phrase that.
Okay, cool. And I think this is something I need to work on more, is kind of getting that language in there, because I've been winging it up till now. On the occasions when this happens, now let's start talking about what we do when it is time to actually kind of exercise that option and pull the plug.
The
so
fun part.
Yeah, this is where it gets cathartic, guys. So I can tell you for me, it's always a case-by-case basis, but I weigh it out. And I do usually feel kind of bad about it. You know, it's like every time this happens, it's a little like, oh, this person's already paid me. So what is fair for me to walk away with and what's fair for them to walk away with? It's kind of like a little mini divorce in that case. And I tend to always try to be really fair, as opposed to seeing how much I can get away, walk away with, particularly when I'm the one initiating it. Half the time I would kill for them to fire me, because then it's much easier to say, oh, fine, I keep my 50% though. Yeah, versus if I'm the one doing the firing, I feel a little bit more like I have to be more fair, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah. So
it does.
Past few times.
Yeah, if it's on your terms. If it's on your terms. I know. It's like this breakup. Oh no, you can have the household items that we bought together.
Yep, it's easier
keep the dog.
Do you feel too though you should have, I think one thing I know is when you start seeing the signs that this could go south is to either remind them of something, I love when I send an email going, hey, haven't heard from you in a bit, you know, like following up on this, have you collected the deliverables needed that were due last week? And then if it's crickets again, now I have no problem the week prior or the week later canceling this or going south, because like, I hate it to be like everything's fine and good. Like I'm always thinking of their mind. Like if I'm having this conversation with them and they know there's four emails that they haven't responded to, it's not my fault. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So as long as you are calling them out or doing those little checkpoints at times where you're starting to see signs that it ain't working, then it's not a shock to them, I think. I want them to go like, yeah, you know, you're right. We kind of did drop the ball here. Like, we didn't stick to the agreement, all these other things. It makes me feel a little better, right?
Yeah. And I had a recent client like this, like probably over the summer, where he went pretty dark for a while. Mm-hmm. Didn't hear anything from him. And it was based on like, it was the end of the project. He still needed to get me a few pieces of content, but we were finished. So I sent him the final bill just based on, you know, we've done all our work. We deserve to be paid. We can't wait for you to get all your stuff together. That doesn't constitute, the end of the project is already done. The end of the project is not determined by when you finally get around to getting all your content. So I sent him the invoice. I sent him many emails following up on it, you know, like this is due. What can I do to help? Nothing. Then when I finally sent the email saying, okay, now I'm incurring a penalty I'm basically adding a late charge. Second I did that, I hear back from him like, no, Wes, you don't have to do that. Come on, be fair.
Oh, wow.
And I was basically acting like I was a dick for putting a late charge on it when he had been not unresponsive for like 2 months to that. And it's
that's crazy, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, so I'm like, okay, you know what? I will take it off if you pay it today.
Good.
And he did. So
good.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And hey, that the late payment thing is another thing to make sure that's clean and clear in your proposal and your estimate as well.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's worth saying too, I don't want to sound like we're bashing clients so much because they're all bad, because the only reason I'm okay with leaving a client under these conditions is because of the five or six that I have that are freaking amazing. You know?
Like exactly.
It's all about how you compare. And I hate to say it, but it's like if someone doesn't come to those standards of all of my long-term ones that we have great relationships with, that's how I set my standard, right?
Yeah.
Like and thanks God, those are the ways we can see when a sign of a bad situation is happening. You know it because you might have five or six others that just don't have that.
And that's the great thing about getting to a certain place in your creative business. And you know, if you're a one-man shop, or at least like you're the head honcho and you've got a few contractors underneath you, where you don't have a huge amount of bandwidth, you do have to be very kind of judicious about who you choose to work with. So
yeah,
if you get a bad apple in there who's really, you know, who you don't like working with, when you've got five or six other ones who you do like working with, then yeah, life's too short for that.
Yep.
I say. So, but it's a delicate balance of honoring your commitments. And if you're not going to honor it, how do you make it right? You know, and that's in, like we were talking about with how much money do you give back, or what do you do just to not, because yeah, what we don't want to do is say, I don't really like you, so go away. And I'm not gonna, you're kind of screwed at this point. So never do that. It's always about being fair, you know? Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had anything?
And again, it all goes back to the what you do at the beginning. It really does, because if I a lot of young designers have asked me, like, you know, like, I'm in this situation and how do I get out of it? It's like, well, I hate to say this, maybe it's going to be hard to get. It's hard to fix this right now. The only way to think about this is what to do with your next project and how to be more upfront with these things at the very beginning. You're in this position because maybe you didn't go through these processes. And I could give you my list, but to be honest with you, sometimes the only way to learn it is to get burned, you know? And I hate that that's the best way to a lesson, but I'm sure most of our listeners will agree. And we know we're the same. It's like the only reason my agreement grows with each time I send it out is because of something I forgot down before.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, no, and no one likes to go through these growing pains, but unfortunately, nothing can prepare you for it like the real thing. And it's part of just paying your dues as a designer too. Like, we all have to go through it.
I know.
There's really no way out of it. And I actually wouldn't wish getting out of it on any of our listeners. If you're a brand new designer, I hope this does happen to you because you will learn from it. Like, it sounds harsh, but if it never happens to you, you're never going to kind of toughen up your, not only like your ego and stuff, but also just the way you prepare for things.
Yeah. And do you personally take it? Like, you know, like I think after your third or fourth one, you're like, I'm resilient. But that first one, you're like crying every night.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
it's not fun when it happens.
No.
No one's saying that.
The first one that ever happened to me was while I was like probably still in school and did a side gig for some restaurant, and it burned me so bad. Thankfully it happened so quickly, you know, before, you know, whatever, but I could still think back at that. And that's the one that really ticks me off the most.
Yeah.
Compared to anybody else that's been professional, you know? So it's a long process, but you're right. I hate to wish it upon someone, but it's kind of the only way.
Yeah. And it's a worthwhile lesson to learn. And yeah, there's no shortcuts to that one, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, go with your gut, start from the beginning. When you know that it's going to be a bad fit, you know, you're not going to like working with this person. We've said this so many times before, but it bears repeating. Listen to that little voice inside you, because it will be proven right, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I still sometimes catch myself saying yes to someone. And I think, again, it's not even so much of being hungry for the work. It's feeling bad turning them down somehow. That's kind of more, I think, how it happens for me. And I'm getting better about it. But,
That's a great thing, because I've put that into play, too. I've always felt bad about, like, saying no to something because they seemed good and they found me maybe organically, or, you know, and you're like, ooh, let me entertain this. But the one thing I've put into play with that is I immediately send them a Google form that has all of my scope of work that can possibly come out of our studio. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets them to say, well, like, all of a sudden that weans out that person that just needs a logo for $500. And then I can write back and say, like, oh, you know, typically we have a minimum, but I'm going to need a few more things on that checkbox, you know, and that makes me feel better. I'm like, I'm not feeling like I'm turning them down. I'm just saying we weren't a good match.
Yeah.
So
yeah. What you need
again,
is different.
You learn every time.
Exactly. So anything else you guys want to add to this conversation before we move on to the listener question?
I think
we're good.
Think so.
Okay, cool. Well, before we get to the question, we do have to talk a little bit about FreshBooks. Mm. We love FreshBooks. They make it really easy to get paid, because at the end of the day,
that's all that matters.
Exactly. That's what this whole episode's about. It's about working with clients and getting paid. So basically, they make it really easy to send out really nice branded professional invoices, so you look like the true expert and the true pro that you are. No more of these, retrofitting ugly Google spreadsheets and making them look like invoices. I used to do it and it made me look like a fool. So don't be a fool. Don't be like me. Get set up with FreshBooks and you can create and send really professional looking invoices in under 30 seconds. And they've got so many great features too. Like, and they're Customer service is unsurpassed. You know, if you have a problem, you can pick up the phone and they'll answer within three rings or less. You can talk to a real Canadian human being. They're the best ones.
They are.
We love them. So, and they also have late payment reminders. So if you send out the invoice and you've got one of these late paying clients, they're going to send out the reminders for you, so you don't have to pick up the phone and call them and it gets awkward. And that's how you lose a client real fast. So let them be the bad guy, but they're still the good guy because they're getting you paid. So, hey, there's that. So to claim your 30-day unrestricted free trial, go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter deeply graphic design in the how did you hear about us section. Once again, freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter deeply graphic design in the how did you hear about us section. Okay, so I've got a listener question here. I had to dig through Instagram to get it.
Ooh, good.
So I got to find, hold on, I got to find my little... I took a screenshot of it. Here we go. All right. Okay, this is a good one. It's from Creative Punch MG on Instagram. And she said, or he said, I don't know if it is, if
That's
I use...
Chris. Yeah, I know Chris.
Oh, you know
yeah.
Chris? It's a guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Chris. He says, if I use freelancers for work paid in my name, but I paid them, do I put as my income? Great question for... tax time is coming right up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you got to do is if they're US based, you got to send them a 1099, right? So
over 500.
Yeah.
Or I think over they changed six. It, but some 600 now, right?
If they've changed it recently, I don't know. It used to be six, but yeah. So if you have a contractor, yeah, you 1099 them, but I think it's your gross income, like anything coming into your business. I think it really depends, though, if you are set up as a business or if
individual.
It's more a sole proprietorship. So, mm-hmm. You know, I would definitely look into the particulars of that situation. But what I do, I have lots of contractors. None of them are U.S. based. You know, I've got my copywriter is Canadian, and I've got my developers from India, and my other people are from the Philippines. So, I don't ever 1099 them. What I do is that's all on my gross income. And then those are all deductions at
there
that
you go.
Point. That's so I'm a sole perfect. Proprietor looking to change that this year into more of a LLC situation. So what about you, Mikkel? You do this a lot and you're more of an LLC, correct?
No.
Oh, you're not?
S Corp?
No.
Oh.
So SP.
And oh, okay.
Actually, we just met with a new accountant since we moved here because we had been advised up and down to make a transition, and now it just doesn't matter money-wise. So that was really good education.
Yeah.
Because Jason and I have been wondering, gosh, you know, what's the savings? Do I need to shift to an S Corp or an LLC? And you used to. 3 years ago, it was advisable. Now that's not necessary for the advantages that we were told at the time. Anyway.
Really?
So mm-hmm. I do have our tax people prepare 1099s. I collect W-9s amongst everyone. Mm-hmm. But now there's a really handy online source that you can have prepare your 1099s for you. And there's a Ooh, number of them out there. They're all competing
good.
With each other, and they're very, very, very cost efficient.
Nice. Do you happen to know how much a charge is by any chance?
With one of these online sources?
Is it like per 1099?
Sometimes they work in batches, and sometimes Good. They do it based on singles.
Because I did it by hand, and it was...
Yeah, don't
You
do
have
that.
To buy the forms. Mm-mm. They're not cheap. And
you can
you
just
do
print
them all
those
by
off?
Hand. No, now... So now... No, there was no online way to do it that I could, unless I hired someone. Exactly. Or my tax guy did it. But I already pay him enough, so I had three to do last year.
And I was curious at itemization, how much that really cost these CPAs, these accounting services, it's penny. It's nothing.
It has to be. Yeah.
It's totally fine and legitimate. If you're having some third party take care of your taxes, just have them take care of it.
Perfect.
You.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But in addition, I did just learn there's a ton of credible online sources out there that can batch them for you as well.
Good.
Nice. Do that and call it a day. All right. Hopefully that was helpful.
Yeah, let's figure it out.
Yeah. So keep sending those listener questions to questions@thedeependdesign.com or, Instagram now too. Nick, did you say you came up, you made a new Instagram? Did I misunderstand your text the other day?
Oh, actually, no. I grabbed Deeply Graphic Twitter.
Okay. Oh, for Twitter.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Oh, nice. Right.
Only because I wasn't sure about your website change and everything, if you still want it. So whatever
that is,
you want
a whole
to do with it.
Other Oprah that I can't even get into right now.
So it's, not sure if you want to, if we want to announce it or not, because I figured until you figure it out.
Oh, go for it. Yeah, do it. And then so what's our new Twitter then?
It's Deeply Graphic.
Perfect. All right, cool.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing
so then, because then my Twitter is going to be mostly about probably my other stuff.
It's
not
your name,
not designer related. Yeah. More my YouTube stuff, where I'm targeting more small business owners. So, all right, cool. Well, good to catch up with you, crazy kids, once again. And nice. I think we'll do another episode coming up about the kinds of clients that probably need a good firing. I think that's next up in the hopper here. So,
and I kind of feel like the next one's got to be celebrating the good clients, because we're just slaying them.
Oh, I know. Different dollars about it all. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
No, we're not about slamming clients here, but the reason we talk about it a lot is because it is something that, you know, it's one of the hard parts of working with clients is when you get a bad one, that feeling of having to fire them. So we just want to, you know, help make it easier for you guys. So
exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, with that in mind, keep designing. Catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Design Cast.